This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, it's going to be a fun show today, buddy.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get people prepared for the NBA Cup tonight. Chicago, Cleveland. The streak is on the line tonight. I mean,
more importantly, we do have an NBA Cup date.
I believe we do have a cup date, but I don't think Kayla's hip to the cup date just yet.
We'll get there.
Oh, wait. We've got it!
The chase for the NBA Cup is on, and your Cavaliers are angling for their first NBA Cup championship. Nick and Jonathan have all the latest on the Cavs' midseason pursuit of greatness. Here's the Afternoon Drive Cup Date.
They're playing Chicago tonight.
Yeah!
In the first cup matchup. That is your cup date today. Come on,
hey,
everybody.
Happy Friday.
It might be a football Friday, but that's how we do it. It's a basketball game. I want this one.
I know you I want this one.
I want this one.
Well, you want everyone.
And no, I want every single one, but this one specifically. One, because the Chicago Bears, or the Chicago Bulls, like you can say both here, a blight upon basketball, bad ownership, not so great front office. I actually think Billy Donovan's a good coach. But I want this one because of what Michael Jordan did to my teams for about 10 years growing up that I remember. There were more years on top of that.
If the Cavs win tonight, can you just put out 14-0 and then it's you giving the Jordan statue the middle finger?
I think I might.
I think that's the right call. I feel like it's the time to do it. If you're ever going to do it, tonight's the night.
So this will not be the win that gets you on the bandwagon for the win streak. But
No.
But it will continue the march. I mean, I'm just going to say there was a poll. Ken and Anthony wanted it out there today. It went out there about, you know, what is more, was it more watchable?
I think that, yeah, sure. Yeah,
more watchable. I thought
which
I wrote
one,
it down.
Would you watch maybe?
Yeah. Something. No, I don't think it was which one you watch because they're on at different times. But it was.
Yeah, I don't think the poll accounted for that though.
I think it actually did.
I thought the poll was trying to separate your which one would you want more? Like if you only could choose one.
It says, okay, which event tonight is more of a must watch for you?
Okay, so.
And 70% of 1,200 voters saying Cavs going for 14-0 versus Chicago .. NBA Cup. There wasn't enough characters.
Yeah, the poll is trying to separate your fandom for the Cavs mixed with a random boxing event.
I don't think it's so random. This is one it's the one that's going to save boxing or finish killing it.
It's still very random.
Yeah.
But it's here and a lot of people are interested and we'll talk about that later.
So we also have a football game this Sunday. Browns, Saints on Sunday. Vibe check for this game. Go.
Not high.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, if you still want them to win, I think vibe should be pretty decent right now. Like, if you can just, in and of itself, enjoy a single win without any sort of the other things that come into it, I think you've got a decent chance. If you're going out of New Orleans, I think you've got a decent chance of single win this weekend.
Oh, if you're going to New Orleans, that's a much different story, right? Because then, with a game almost becomes secondary in many respects.
No, I mean, if you're going to New Orleans to watch the Browns,
I think the game still becomes secondary. Well, I think like having the boys trip and going out to New Orleans, going down to Bourbon Street and doing all those things is probably the highlight of the weekend. The game is just kind of what takes place.
But I think this might not be the weekend that the game is the worst punctuation for the great weekend it could be.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
If you get a win.
I don't follow it. I mean, I don't agree with it. I follow it. I don't agree with it. So you think if you're going to New Orleans this weekend, you're prepped up for a better time in the game than you would be Bourbon Street?
No. What I'm saying is I think a lot of times you go travel to a game And then you actually go to the game. So you've had a great time, right? In Kansas City, you had the great Kansas City barbecue. You saw something.
Keep talking about Kansas City tourist attractions.
I know.
How deep can you go?
That's about it. Okay. You get a steak there.
I think you get about the barbecue, and that's about where it stops.
But okay, you see maybe like a penny museum. Is that a thing? I don't know. But you have a great weekend, and then you go to the game, and it's like, wow, they just got the you-know-what kicked out of them. I don't think you have to worry about this weekend. Because usually,
you might get a win.
A bad Browns performance is the thing that kind of taints your memory of the weekend. I don't think you have to worry about it being tainted.
Oh, you see, I think the fans that are going this weekend are already trying to make their memories away from the game. They're not going to let their memories be game dependent.
I don't think you should let memories be game dependent anyways. But that's just me. I mean, if you're going to spend all that money to go somewhere and you're putting your entire enjoyment on what happens in the game, I think there's some flawed logic in that.
Okay, but that's how you ended your last sentence before that, though. That's why I'm playing off of that. Like, you said you'll remember the game the most. And it's like, that's not... You can't do that with this Browns team.
I feel like you're just attaching extra meaning to what I'm saying.
I'm listening, Nick.
If the rest... I think that's an Odyssey thing.
It's also a Fraser Crane thing.
But no, I'm saying that this might not put a small smidge on the end of this great weekend. You might be like, oh, and the Browns won too. That's more what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. What's your vibe check for this game?
My vibe check is the Jameis Winston audition. I mean, who isn't up for it, right?
Woo!
Yeah! He could
sell it.
Play a game, and it could look good, and
man,
people...
We're going to get into all this, but this just kind of stinks, doesn't it?
It does stink
that this is the next 8 weeks of our lives.
Yeah, I mean that obviously
it's trying to get excited for a football game that more people than not probably want them to lose just for draft position, but it's like it's trying to get excited for what for 8 weeks.
Well, and it's funny, like I know how bad Jameis was against the Chargers. I do. And you and I both went into the Ravens game saying there's very little that actually, like, reasonably can happen that's going to set him up to be the bridge quarterback.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, I think now that the expectations are nil, if the Browns are being honest, which is a big ask, but great ask, if the Browns are doing that, then I got to say, like, yeah, there is a hypothetical chance that Jameis can use this in the next seven games after it to try and present his case to be the bridge quarterback.
I think if it goes really, really well, and this is the part if it's a choose your own adventure book, I don't see a path where Jameis ends up being the quarterback next year. If it goes really well, the Browns won't be able to afford him next season.
Oh, I don't think this is a Joe Flacco situation to me. I think it's like you can play really, really well for six games and then you're going to go to free agency, and then you might have an $8 million offer to be somebody's backup.
See, I think if Flacco wasn't 39 years old, if he wasn't at the end of times, I think Flacco, if Flacco was 29 years old, like Jameis Winston, then I feel like he would have had a lot of offers. Like, we act like Jameis is 1 foot out the door with his NFL career because of age, and age is not it. It's been talent. But if he showcases the talent, then I feel like a lot of doors will open up because people will be like, oh, it's a Geno Smith thing. It's a Sam Darnold thing, and then they'll just attach themselves to that.
Geno Smith didn't have the off-the-field stuff. And again, the off-the-field stuff, I'm not talking about getting arrested or the Uber thing. I'm talking about like the fact that he's weird.
I mean, Geno punched a teammate. That's how he got cut in New York. That was his end of his time in New York, was him punching a teammate in the locker room. Like, he was far from being a saint.
Yeah, but he, like, Jameis, I don't know how to put it. Like, the way people talk about Jameis is just that, like, they just don't trust Jameis. I know Geno had his bad moment in New York, but I don't think that was a narrative, mostly because I don't think there was ever any expectations put on Geno after he washed out of New York. With Jameis, he's come so close to being like, hey, that guy Jameis, so many times. And because he is the face of 30 for 30, my path for Jameis getting the bridge quarterback spot, I don't think it's attainable. It's go 6-2, and it is throw for, 2-1 touchdown, touchdown INT ratio, and basically be like, you're going to have to elevate the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unattainable as well. I don't think it's going to happen. I think I would put it at a 1% chance of happening, a very tiny, tiny, tiny. But I just can't figure it out because I can't get past the money. I mean, we see it differently, obviously, for Jameis' future. I do think if he plays really well, I think he could be a starter next year. He's got to play really, really, really well, though. I just don't know that we're going to see that.
I think so. The money's one part of it. I also think there are other parts about like Stefanski and his, you know, because we just don't know with Jameis because he's, again, just a bit of a goober.
Yeah.
I do think if we really just want to be honest with ourselves, specific to Jameis, the most interesting thing that can happen for all of us is Jameis plays really well and they get a win. I'm talking about from a sports talk perspective.
You mean just this Sunday?
Yeah, because I do think, maybe not even the plays well thing.
I agree with you because I don't want to see DTR and I don't want to see Bailey Zappe. That's not interesting.
And here's the thing. I know that the vocal majority of fans are saying, nah, screw this team. I don't like this team. Fire everybody, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's because you just had 2 weeks coming off a loss. Half of those same fans the week before were like, we never left. You know what I mean? Like, I tend to think that a fair amount of the people who have written them off, if Jameis goes out there and you get a commanding win and Jameis keeps down the turnovers, whatever that means, if that's even possible, I think we'll never left and let's go beat the brains of the Steelers in on Thursday.
I don't know about that. The bye week, I feel like, came at the wrong time for trying to rally the troops and get support around this Browns team because we just wallowed in it for 2 weeks.
216-474-0092. Is this an audition for Jameis Winston, this Saints game? They're all auditions, but it sure feels like we're a little bit closer to him maybe sitting on the bench than maybe being the full-throated starter there. We've got Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com at 3 o'clock. We got Jason Pinkston at 3:40. We got Daryl Ryder. Hopefully he's in a nicer mood today, coming up at 6 today. But we will get into the Cavs, 14-0. I'm sorry, I counted a win before it happened. 13-0, start the NBA Cup. You heard the cup date already. We'll also get into the Browns and Saints here. But as it pertains to Jameis Winston, do you buy that there is a pathway forward for Jameis to be the starter beyond the rest of this year? We'll get into that. And Jim Schwartz said something that I think falls in line with what some people feel. I just don't know where the evidence is. 92.3 The Fan.
You know, I think reports the death of running backs has been greatly exaggerated. Is that the way? I mean, we've had Saquon, we've had Derrick Henry, and now Kamara, and these guys that really carried a load and really set the tempo for their offenses. Kamara is a different player. He can run inside the tackles. He can run wide. He's really good in the pass game. He's dangerous in screens. You know, anybody that's the leading rusher and leading receiver is going to get your attention. And, you know, we sort of have to know every time where he is on the field, but that's a great challenge for us, and our ability to hold him in check will go a long way to getting a win on Sunday.
You just heard Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz there decrying that the death of the running back position is greatly exaggerated. What is not greatly exaggerated is that quick hits coming up in 20 minutes. You're going to love that. We got Fedor at 3 to talk about this big NBA Cup matchup tonight. And most importantly, the Cavs 13-0 start to the season's on the line. But I think what's interesting is I think he's kind of bearing the lead on purpose. Like, the death of the running back position was never about Derrick Henry. It was never about Zeke Elliott. It was never about like the elite Nick Chubbs. It was never about the elite of the elite. It was always that for whatever reason, that next tier under with running backs has really become wildly replaceable in the NFL. Some of that's because talent has defected to other positions. Some of that is unless you are Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, whatever, like, you can build a running game in different ways other than having an elite running back.
See, I looked at it more like Derrick Henry in Tennessee was the best. He's the best running back over, you know, a half decade. And Nick Chubb was right there. Dalvin Cook was right there as well. All these guys. But the very best I believe we had in that game in that time, and it's an AFC title game, but like that was going through just him and him alone. And I felt like the position had been so devalued. And even to the point when we go to the big name guys, Darnell Mooney got just as much money this offseason than Saquon Barkley. Like, I think this is an all-encompassing thing with them. I don't think it just attacks the middle class.
Yeah, well, what I mean is, though, like, because the money thing's been going on for a really, really long time.
Yeah, it just keeps going down and down.
I think what Jim is trying to do is push back. Well, just because the money isn't there, blah, 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 blah. But, like, no one's turning down an elite running back. They're not. Right? It's just, well, it's not like a death knell if you don't have one, if that makes sense.
I don't know. It kind of felt like it was weird. With Derrick Henry, I thought there was a That's a weird offseason for Derrick Henry. That's a $100 bill on the ground, and just everyone walked by refusing to pick it up. Like that, and then now you see him. He's leading the league in touchdowns. He's leading the lead in yards per game. Even guys like Saquon Barkley. Like I went back last night just because this is the bad part of Hard Knocks, Nick, is when Joe Shane has that big we can't keep you declaration.
Yeah, did not age well.
Aged horribly, yeah. And he just looks like an absolute idiot now today because every time Saquon has a game like he did last night, it just gets floated around.
Yeah, but again, I think that's the masses just missing the point of the conversation. One, the Giants should have re-signed Saquon Barkley. But at the same point, $13 million for a running back means you are going to have to skimp somewhere else. And I think it's not necessarily just the devaluation of the running back. It's the understanding of you'd rather move on from Saquon Barkley 2 years early than 2 years late.
Yeah, but we say skimp somewhere else. But then again, I bring Darnell Mooney in the mix, and it's like Darnell Mooney's getting paid just as much money as Saquon. Something was broke.
It's a passing league.
But that's where Jim Schwartz steps in and says, not so fast, my friends.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, Christian McCaffrey's still been a guy that's made boku money. I mean, this offseason, he got an extension at the age of, I think, 28 years old.
He's like a unicorn of sorts, though. Yeah,
well, but that's a guy that 2 years ago...
He's just as much of a receiver as he is a runner.
Well, but that's it. But that's, I think that's the value. Like, if you can be an elite running back receiver, I think that's the most valuable running back you can have in the game, and that guy's always going to get paid, even if it's after the expiration date. I think guys like Derrick Henry, like, I think you're just seeing more of a piecemeal run, even in Baltimore. Like, yeah, Derrick Henry's getting a lot of the carries there. He's also sharing that workload with Lamar and Justice Hill, who each have their own role in that offense. So that's not quite a running back tandem because Derek's still getting so many of the carries. But like I think once a year the conversation about running backs comes up, and I don't think anything's really changed. I mean, meaning like within the last 5 or 6 years. Like, I don't think the running back position has died, but it's just not what its value was 25 years ago. And I don't think it ever will be.
I think he's trying to latch on right here, and I'm not speaking for Jim Schwartz, but I think he's trying to latch on to the think pieces that about a month ago we're starting to say that the running back is having a glow-up of sorts coming back into the game. And I'd ask you this, Nick. The Browns not having a run game this year, how big do you think that has been for the totality of the season?
I mean, I think it's been big because of what your quarterback's been, what you've gotten from the quarterback spot. I also don't think that's because Nick Chubb wasn't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because your offensive line sucked.
Yeah,
because I think I would rather pay every one of my offensive linemen boku dollars to keep them in their prime or to draft and develop those guys than to pay a Saquon Barkley. I don't think this season has changed that. And I watched Saquon last night. He was fantastic beyond just the two touchdowns. He's just a God-given playmaker.
Yeah, well, and that's we're seeing this. A lot of people have your philosophy on it. And that's why we saw – how many running backs did we see change teams this offseason?
A hell of a lot. But by the way, Saquon is in the Christian McCaffrey territory. Just so we're clear, he's not like the Derrick Henry, the old stone hands. You can only run the ball. You can't catch the ball as much, which I think has been a little unfair. Derrick's done a little bit of it. It's just not been his forte. But, like, I mean, that's kind of how people view Nick. Like, that has been a knock on Nick Chubb is
for sure.
They've never really used him in the run game. So, like, even Saquon, who's right there with CMC and, like, you can do a lot of stuff with him. Yeah, it's important if you can have one, if you luck into one. Right. But I just think Jim's an old head who likes to push back on contemporary things, and I think this is just kind of like, I'll be honest with you.
It's a perfect convo for Browns fans everywhere because nothing this city loves more than a running backs matter conversation.
It does, but that's the thing. I think every time we have that, you're right. They do win their Nick Chubb, win their Saquon. Win their CMC, win their Derrick Henry, and their levels even within those guys. But I just think, like, man, I'll be honest with you. I think if your tackles had been healthy or if your run fits hadn't been whatever the hell they were to start the season, I don't think you're 2-7. Because I think you would have been able to run the ball more, and that probably would have put less pressure on Deshaun, and certainly the last couple of weeks, the less pressure on Jameis. Like, that's the biggest thing. You want to talk about this game this Sunday, the thing that I don't know you can run with them. Like, I think it might be Jameis might have thrown for 312 yards simply because you can't run the damn ball. Maybe that gets better. I don't know. Maybe Chubb gets healthier, or maybe Jerome Ford finds it again because he's disappeared, or we have that random Deontay Foreman quarter that we've gotten sporadically.
Yeah.
Because I do think the O-line's getting healthier. I still don't know they're getting better.
Yeah, I just don't think anyone is building their game plan around the Browns running the ball. No. And it's just the reality of what this season is.
Yeah, well, but I think that's one of we were talking about Jameis's path as a starter. And again, like to me, because I actually want to get into this for a second, but like to me, making Jameis work as a starter is actually coming across a run game. And I think finding the run game is very doable. I think if this O-line is healthy, like if you can go from DeJuan to Jack and everybody stay healthy in a game.
Yeah.
Over the next couple games, I think you're going to start to see the benefit of that, because I think the most important thing to an offensive line performing at its top level, beyond, I don't know, an O-line coach who's worth his salt, the second most important thing you can have is continuity. And mm-hmm. That's one of the things they just haven't had. That it's interesting because we were talking about the Jameis Winston thing about his path forward. And because Jameis doesn't just have to overcome his interceptions. He has to overcome the perception of him, which is that he's a goober, right? And whether that's fair or unfair, whether that's a double standard or not, that is kind of how the NFL looks at him. Like, love him as a backup, positive influence in the locker room, but we don't know that we can trust him. All right? So I think the stats are, six touchdowns to two interceptions. No, it's six wins to two losses. You got to win a buttload of football games, and he has to be really, really good. But I think the interesting thing is, this isn't Jameis versus Jalen Milrow. It's not. Would you rather have Jameis as your quarterback or Daniel Jones?
That's the real conversation. Is it Jameis? Is it, Mac Jones even? Bring him in the mix.
Whoever, Justin Fields.
Whoever you want to bring in, it's Jameis versus the others.
And here's the thing. Every time I do that exercise, in whatever way I do it, I kind of end up going, it's kind of a push. Like, I think the biggest feather in the cap of Jameis is, those guys really suck.
Honestly, my concern if you brought Jameis back, outside of the fact that nobody would be excited for the upcoming season at all because he just wouldn't light a fire up anybody, is the idea that you might win too many games. You might stumble into too many wins.
I think that's fair, and I've heard people talk about you're not going to win any beauty contest if you bring back Jameis. Yeah, but okay, are we in the interest of selling fake hope to fans with a Jones? Daniel Jones or Justin Fields? Are you in the interest of actually trying to keep your jobs next year if these guys come back and winning games? Because if it's winning games, I just don't know how you can look at what Daniel Jones does and sell that guy's going to win you games.
It's a hard part of these convos is that I don't know exactly what the goal is for next year.
And here's the thing,
none
they're not
really
going to tell
at this
you.
Point. Yeah, no, of course not.
Which is the frustrating thing, because I'll be honest with you. If you sign Daniel Jones, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones, I'm actually going to think that you actually are not trying to win next year. Like,
sell me as that, like, that them going for 10 wins next year, if that either one of those quarterbacks, any one of them,
and
are
I,
the mix.
That's where we are. Like, those are the conversations, and I think you and I are only going to be the only people here being on.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Honest about that, because I think people in this town, especially in media, love to glom onto the guy you don't know. It's why it's the crux of the, you don't know what you have in DTR. Now it's not even DTR anymore. It's Bailey Zappe. It's like, this dude was on Kansas City's practice squad. They didn't even put him on the roster.
He clobbered us once, Nick. Never forget the Bailey Zappe game.
You know, but what's wild is, then when I bring up Mac Jones, everybody's like, I'm like, the guy actually had a good season. Bailey Zappe had like three good games.
What was it, like a 300-yard, three-touchdown performance? And that one game alone might have kept him in the league for as long as he's been.
The Joe Woods special, as it's known. We'll get back to this later, but it's time for Quick Hits on 92.3 The Fan. It's time for quick hits. And mock draft season hath come early there, JP. Here in Cleveland, we've got an emphasis on the quarterback spot, which probably they all suck. The Morning Boys started going through names of quarterbacks this morning that might come out, and it was Alabama's Jalen Milrow that had things heat up.
I got nothing against the young man. I'm just very skeptical. It feels very running back playing quarterback. I don't believe that he's going to make a great NFL quarterback. I believe Cam Ward,
Bill
even
Polian,
though he's a
little... No, Lamar Jackson.
Whoa. Hey,
very wide
on,
receiver.
All right, Ken did not simmer down for like 2 minutes. We do have a full 2 minute clip of Ken just screaming at Lima and refusing to come off the point that he is offended by that. I'm going to give you a little taste here at the end of it because we couldn't play all 2 minutes.
I'm not going to sit here and be compared to Bill Polian. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll turn the mic off and walk out of the room.
I think that's laughable that you're being that offended.
I will be offended.
Was Lima in the wrong for the Polian reference?
It's the only reference you can make in that moment. How is Lima wrong there?
He's not.
Now, turning off your mic and walking off the room, that would have been an interesting turn of events.
I don't think I've ever seen that before. Here's the thing. This is the difference between them and us, is if one of us threatened to do that,
we would actually do it.
The other would be very tempted to continue like just poking until the person either shut up about it or actually walked out of the room.
We shouldn't put these thoughts in our head now, because now it's going to be a game for which one of us eventually turns off the mic and walks off the room first.
And this show probably will be some version of chicken, but... Yeah, you can't say this quarterback looks like a skill player instead of it. And by the way, Lima actually had the best point in the whole thing, where he compared Jalen Milrow to Jalen Hurts. And I was like, I see what he's going for. I don't know that I agree yet because I hadn't put that much thought into it. But I really like that comparison of that might be a guy you get in the second round and then try and develop over a couple years.
If I can defend Ken for a second, though, just for a second. When you watch that game over the weekend and Milrow goes for 80 more rushing yards than he goes for passing yards, he went for like 185 on the ground with 4 rushing touchdowns. I don't know what else you're supposed to compare him to. Like, right. Lamar is the comp there.
All right, but I don't want to hear Ken shout out for Justin Fields this winter. That's all I'm saying. I gotta say, if you have a thing against running quarterbacks, I can't hear you get in on Justin Fields.
Omaha! All right, next up, John Gruden hired by Barstool, and he had his debut day yesterday, and part of it was them sitting around and watching that Eagles-Commanders game, and while they're watching it, Gruden talked about WIP and the sports radio that he enjoyed in Philadelphia.
You ever heard of WIP radio? It's a big radio, sports radio in Philadelphia.
The callers on that show are something
brutal.
Else.
We lost to the 49ers in the playoff game, like 20-0 or 20-3. I was offensive coordinator, and I was listening. Caller calls in and says, "Jack Gruden, the guy's an idiot." He says, "If the guy's IQ is 1 point less, he'd be a plant. He's an idiot." I'm driving down the car. I got tears in my eyes.
He's
I'm going,
laughing, yeah.
Oh, my God. Go out, you know, you're warming up. We're playing the Rams. It's windy. We get out there early with Jay Fiedler and Randall Cunningham and Rodney Peete. We're throwing. This guy's up there, and he's going, "Hey, Gruden!" And all the players can hear, because it's not – nobody's there yet. Hey, Gruden! Dad in there. He keeps going, "Hey, Gruden!" Finally, I turn around. He's like, "You suck!" The players all lie. Yeah. That was a tough place, man.
I might get tired of Gruden stories, but I love that one.
Yeah. Here's the thing. That's if I was – whether it was callers or you know, host, whatever – if I was in sports, that's how I just enjoy the theater of sports talk radio, whether I agreed or not. It's so wild, this era. And it's not just this era.
Where they have to pretend that they don't listen or take in anything?
Or that they're offended by it. Oh, you said I should be fired. Okay. Did you get fired? Do I have the magic stick? No? Then shut up and listen and say thank you.
Understand you're the man in the arena. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Now, if you were the head coach of the Browns, would you listen to 92.3 The Fan?
Yes, I would, because I think it'd be funny. I think this
I would
idea-
have to listen, and I would just, in my mind, I would just point out all the things that were wrong all throughout the day. That would be me listening.
See,
I'd be
I wouldn't even do that. Like, this has, like, this, what I really think teams don't realize, this helps that. So if fans are calling about your team, that's a good thing, even if they want you fired. Fans don't... Okay, in this town, this is a dangerous thing to say. Fans should not get you fired, all right? So this idea that you have to... Oh, take it personally. This is my career. All right. Lighten up, Francis.
Omaha!
Guardians new unis are out, and they are awesome. This is a two-parter. One, what is your favorite look that we got this this year?
I liked the blue one with like the C on the one that Kwan was wearing. Uh-huh. I thought that one was the sharpest.
So, and they have a red one that's basically the same thing as like an alternate, right? Because that was my favorite one. One thing. Can we get the very seductive Guardian as the patch on the arm or the hat? Because the sexy Guardian is my favorite logo. Two,
yeah, is it weird that you're calling him a sexy Guardian, or are we all just cool with that?
I think we got to be cool with it. I'm not hitting on him. I'm not saying, can I take you home tonight?
I'm simply saying
he's got... Well, the reason why it's sexy is he's got his shoulders revealed.
Please, describe how
robe,
the man is sexy to you even more.
His robe, it's to the people.
A statue, that is.
To the people. And it's just seductively right over his chest there, and he's just kind of looking at baseball fans like... You just tell me what, and I'll get there. That's what he said.
Like the statue of David. Kayla, have you ever looked at that and been like, that's a sexy statue? Can we say statues are sexy?
I don't see why not. If you think the person's sexy, why wouldn't their statue be sexy?
Oh, you almost shot it down, and then she's like, it's weird.
Don't make it weird, Jonathan.
You made it weird by calling it a sexy statue.
The second thing is Josh Naylor being one of the player models proof that he's likely here next year?
Oh, good question.
That's probably a better question. Probably should lie with that one.
That might be insight. They do these things.
Yeah, they do.
If they put you on the promotional schedule, if they do little things like that, they definitely tell you their plans.
Omaha!
Although it would have been weird if he wasn't on it, and then everyone would have been like, oh, he's definitely gone, isn't he?
That definitely would have gone the other way.
Roger Goodell speaking yesterday at the Liberty Media's Investor Day, because that's what Roger Goodell was speaking at these days. He said that he wants to get to 18 games, an 18-game season within 5 years. Obviously, the CBA is not going to allow that yet. He's going to have to basically tear up the CBA that they currently have and adjust it. But the goal is within 5 years, he wants 18 games, and he wants as many international games as he can get it. The number there is 16 for international games. Are we moving too quick?
No. On the international game thing, yes. But on the 18th, why, I don't want to wait 5 years. I mean, the 18th regular season game. Let's lop a few of these boring-ass preseason games. Let's get to it.
You know, I'm surprised we don't hear as many players complaining about the amount of games. I thought we'd hear more. You know, when they added the games, I thought we'd just constantly hear players complain about the extra games. We haven't really gotten that.
Well, this will happen when we start to gear up for the 18-game conversation, and then there's collective bargaining going on through the public.
We'll probably get a second bye week, though, and then people will just rationalize it.
Omaha!
All offseason long, the Dodgers have been the front runner for Japanese pitching sensation Roki Sasaki. Now, former MLB GM Jim Bowden says it's unlikely they'll land him. Other reports says he wants an organization with a pitching and development focus. He's talking about the Guardians, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Once you said pitching focus, like, clearly that's what he was going for.
I'm just
going
to say, Roki Sasaki, make it happen. Roki Sasaki.
What's the value on him right now?
So he actually is part of your international pool. So it's not like it was like 10 years ago where you have to pay like.
There's no posting fee?
50-year. Well, I think there is a posting fee, but it's not like where it used to be like $50 million, something like that. It's an agreed upon thing for each Japanese baseball player. But yeah, so since this comes out of your international money, you're not going to have to sign him to like a $50 million deal. It would be like if you signed a kid out of the Dominican. Like, that's how they treat this. So give me Roki Sasaki.
It's still his call at the end of the day?
Yes. Well, that was offensive.
I'm trying to measure it all up. It's still his call at the end of the day?
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, Roki Sasaki, if you're listening right now, he's listening right now. Everybody knows he's listening right now.
Clearly.
You come to Cleveland, we'll be on this show right now.
How are you sweetening the pot? What are you going to make him some Moscow mules?
Listen, I'm getting ready for like some Thanksgiving margaritas. I'll make him a Thanksgiving margarita. I don't know if he's old enough. I think he's like 23
or 24. I thought you were going mules. You're going with margaritas?
No. We're doing a whole taste testing thing this weekend. Vanessa has like 4 or 5 recipes. And then we're gonna bring them together. We're gonna put the ingredients together, put them over some rocks, have a couple drinks, and then make the decision.
That sounds like when we did wedding cake testing, and everyone thinks it's a great and fun time. And then by the time you're in like your 20th wedding cake, you're like, oh no, this is like I'm like a pledge again in a fraternity. This is just cruel.
Yeah, but this won't go that way because it's
good.
With booze.
Okay.
Yeah. Like there's my 5th Thanksgiving margarita. I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to try.
What if they stink, though? She makes all these margaritas off of like Pinterest and stuff. What if it's just bad?
Then we're going to fall back on Harvest Mules.
Okay, good. Okay.
So this is the great thing is I already know in my mind, if she gives up after like 5 of these drinks, I'm going to have a Harvest Mule, and I'm going to have a lot of Harvest Mules for Thanksgiving.
And just call it a day.
And I'm going to be very happy with that. That is Quick Hits. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, talks the Cavs streak next on 92.3 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.